What is the word? And in the word of the meaning, there's great meaning. So, may Allah bless us, every one of you. We, right now, will turn the podium over to our brother who was introduced to me. I'm working on speaking of you. I don't want to
thank all of you for coming out on a rainy afternoon to hear what our man has to say. We want to welcome you. But I think what we want to do at this point is call a man that I had a chance to meet about a year ago. And we were coming on the campus and speaking to the students about how Islam and changes in the community that we represent. And he has always been helpful, and always been positive, and always extended his hand whenever we needed. So I want to bring before you Professor James Dennis, the chairman of the Department of Pan-African Studies here on campus. When I left Oakland, California, on my way to Chicago, I was going to hear his father. The other was I. But in the middle of Texas, something came on the radio that I could not believe. It said, announced the death of Delphine, I found. And at that point, I was looking at the brothers that I felt like turning back to him. So upon arriving in Chicago, I was greatly depressed and disturbed. But I'm so thankful to God that He blessed me to get to Chicago to hear and witness what I heard and what I witnessed. And I can truly say that my life has been changed after hearing this. And I hope if you don't get the same feeling that I did when I first heard it, that you get some inkling of the insight, the knowledge and the understanding that this man has shared with our community since 1975. And it certainly blessed our community to grow. A couple of things I would like to mention. You know, today our man was like a dialogue with Pope John Paul II, discussed the issues of divinity and religion. And we have a committee, the Committee for the Removal of Images that attempts to create trade in the mind, that we have formed within our community that addresses that problem. It is our objective at the end of the program show you the petition. If you so wish, you can sign the petition in an effort to help bring about this dialogue. I would also like to say that the Pan African Studies Department, Pan Unlimited, and the Associated Students of California State University of North Carolina feel especially honored to present the World Traveler Lecturer and Scholar of International Stature at the National World Student College. And I just want you in my gratitude, in my feeling, being blessed to be on the same stage with our men. Without further ado, I want to bring you before you, and I want to leave you with my new master.
Things that allow is very much like the complaint that wasn't a fanatic determined. He was one who accepted the condition of slavery. He obeyed the master with the dignity that is, but the dignity of the slave who accepted the situation. In those days, slaves were not permanent slaves. Most of them would purchase their freedom if they were able to save enough money. They could even impress their masters, and if they impressed their masters enough, maybe perhaps their masters would release them or would give them opportunities that they gave their own children. But anyway, picture of anyone who would be called Belial. that I also have become to believe, and I've heard this again, that the picture of a certain powerful ruler riding a donkey, and his name is called Baal Zephon. I'm convinced that his name has something to do with the name Eliab and with the name Elijah. He was riding a donkey, so the scripture says. And if you can accept my interpretation of this, then here's what I have seen in this, that the donkey is the poor, oppressed people. The disenfranchised, the culturally deprived people, the uneducated, the ignorant people. Not ignorant because of their nature, but ignorant because of circumstances that they find themselves in. And I am convinced that Bob, who rides the donkey, is actually Bob riding Eliab. Or Bob riding Eliab. Now, if that's correct, then what is the meaning of this? What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that Eliab, and Bob all refer to a kind of sensitivity that we have, and a kind of a way of relating to things, issues, and everything that is characteristic of persons who don't have direction, persons that don't have a clear vision of what life should be, what life is all about. They are persons who are exposed to environmental influence. So the Belial kind of person, or the Belial kind of person, he's governed by the nature of the sentiments of his heart. And if you're kind to him, more like you in the mood. Therefore, he has nothing to refer to of his own except his heart. So if you can convince his heart, he'll follow you. Now, part of such nature, that we don't have to have a personality to lead the heart. Anything that soothes or makes the person feel good gets the consent of the heart. So you can play music to us and just lead us right on down the road. Because that's what we are. We are the last. We are the liar. Now, don't feel offended, brother, if I say we are the liar. Don't think I'm speaking to you individually. Some of you are not characteristic of the last individual. But if you look at our race, in spite of the progress we've made over these three centuries or so since the physical slavery, we still find that this word is a very fitting word for the behavior of our race. President Carter, then the White House. And we fell in love with President Carter. We had fallen in love with President Kennedy before him. President Johnson after Kennedy, right? If it's fallen in love with those people, and he fell in love with Carter. Why? Because he's weak. Carter was a weak man. Carter was a soft man, soft-spoken man, nice man, sweet man. Carter appealed to our hearts. So we supported President Carter. And right away, soon as Reagan came out, his name just didn't sound. The name, you know, Carter. Well, look, how come these people who are the servants, the disenfranchised of the population, how come they have to be the liar? You can't enslave an informed person. You can only enslave a person who hasn't been correctly informed. People who are correctly informed, you can't enslave them. You can put the cover on, you can put the shackle, the chains on, but that person is free in spite of those shackles. Yeah. And just waste time. You can only enslave people when they're not informed. So the masses that you're talking about are the illiterate or misinformed masses. And they're in that now thing simply because they don't have a concept that is rationally structured for them to conform to or live by. So they live by itself. Now, there was a time the church contained them. It was because the church opened its arms to us when we were free. So we went into the church. The church was a haven for us. We were segregated, discriminated, and divided, ostracized. But we were told that Jesus sees the ugly. He loved everybody. Jesus died for everybody. So you can imagine what sex that would have on a black slave, on a black person in America, discriminated against you, ostracized. So, yes, I do think that's what the law would say, right?
Right.
But now, if we weren't in the state of the last, see, I'm justifying that you can just say, if we weren't in the state of the last, and after physical change, the physical yoke was taken off, and they showed us a picture of Jesus, the Son of God, they said, looking just like the same people who had put us in the bondage, we'd say, what the hell is this? What kind of trick? This is an empty thought. You people in slave us, and now you're showing up an image of one of you saying that's a God, that's not a God. You insulted me. We would have ripped everything back. But you see, we didn't have that kind of mind. We were in the face of the act. So we responded to what God was doing. But in the last case, right away, he accepted.
And when he had said to the Father, he was ready then to sacrifice for that. And he had sacrificed for his faith. He was ready then to do more for Allah. And you know more be in your love than he had been in his faith. So his faith master would have had a great misery in his life. Talking him would have stolen. Me and you never mentioned the judgment of Arabia, but I have. I made a mistake and went there in the wrong month. You know, I was still a very, very pious and very spiritual, and I just wanted to go to Mecca. I didn't even know what month it was. That's how spiritual I was at that time. I didn't even know what month it was, you know. And I went over there, man, on the land of Jews. And when I got over there and stepped on that sand, I came back home to reality. Like stepping on fire. So the slave master would put stones out in the hot sun and let those stones be heated up by the sun. It got very hot. Then he would place those hot stones on the bad breath of the lad to make the lad give up his faith. And every time he'd come back to see his lad breath is from his faith, the lad would say, "Lad, lad, give them all. There's only one God, and Muhammad is his messenger." Sometimes we be so overcome by thirst, heat, and suffering that he put in his feet, and he just held his hand like this, one finger. Then the master goes, no, no, I say one. I'm real with Muhammad, I say one God. And finally, he was free. Abu Bakr, one of the great funnies that God has pleased him, paid his slave master the ransom price and freed the lad to come to the membership of his early followers of Abu Bakr. And Prophet Muhammad was so dear to the lad, he chose to make the lad the first mu'ezzin. Mu'ezzin is the one who calls people to pray. But understand that in those days, the call to prayer was the call to the whole life. The prayer was called and people came to the messenger and to the prayer area to pray for the Sunday to the break. They came to that area and every function of the society was centered right there. Education, whatever it was, community issues, whatever it was, all was happening right there. So actually, when he called them to prayer, he called them to more than just spiritual worship, a spiritual devotion. The call says, Hayya ala salat. Hayya ala salat means come to prayer or worship. It also says, Hayya ala salat. Hayya ala salat means come to cultivation. Come to cultivation. And it's translated, come to success. That's because cultivation means success. But actually the word is not success. The word is salat. And it's got the same to be mean success. What do you call a farmer who farms his land? He is salat and salat. He farms his land. He's the salat. He is engaging in the cultivation of his land to bring products into the city. And the products of the city are all supported by what? Agriculture. Agriculture. Our food, our food, the wood that built the home, the leather goods, even the transportation, all of these things need agriculture and other agriculture. So actually the call to prayer is a call to the full life, to get engaged, to become engaged in the full life, in the full service of the human society. But under God, being disciplined under the will of God and giving your devotion wholly, mainly and wholly to Him. Hayya for that, hayya for that. Come to worship, come to cultivation. So we find the last history, and I'm working over this because this is not the main body of my address today. I'm working over this. But we find, I can show many parallels that I see in the life of the Lord, in our life, that the history, historical life of the people here in America. But I just want to talk to this one. When the religion reached him, he was under a slave master. And it was the religion that brought him out. My father, Elijah Long, when religion, the name of this religion reached him, when the Holy Bible of the Muslims, properly called Quran, when it reached him, he was a Christian. And he was on welfare. And he had a very low image of himself and his people. He was a person to pride of the comfort of having a comfortable image of himself. So Abdullah Muhammad accepted that religion, and then he began to propagate it all over the United States with the youthful Malcolm X, the very articulate Malcolm X. He was able to attract many African Americans of the Alley to join the Temple of Islam, or the Nation of Islam, as it comes to be called, and Black Muslim, as it was named by Dr. Eric Delaney. We find that Bilal, coming from that same servile state to the dignity of being represented in that Islam, parallel our coming, that is, the Muslim of America, our coming out of low self-image into pride that we came into under the Almighty of leadership. And if you study our effect upon the rest of the African-American people, you'll find that our effect, our presence in America, has a lot to do with the change of image on the part of the African-American people, period. I remember when we were calling ourselves black, our own black brothers and sisters were not Muslim black at us.
That's right.
But in time, they came to say the same thing. We're black. So I am alive. And God says to reject his stone so to come upon us. And they reject Elijah and say he's worthless. And isn't that the position of the establishment today? If you are morally conscious, if you are a citizen, if you have human sensitivity, they don't want you in that, they don't want you in that establishment. They say, oh, this is holy, holy, this is really good. We can't use it. But if you're a criminal, or if you don't have human sensitivity, you just don't care. And you will follow anything for material profit. Oh, this boy, if he's gone, if he ain't telling it comes to me, I can use it. Mm. So you move right up in the establishment if you don't have any heart. Mm. Or if your heart has become rock, you see. Well, I'm proud to say that people have it, and I understand this human quality is what God wants in all of us. So the other day, two non-Bilalians who were actually Bilalians. I didn't know it, but their faces were not black. They were European. They came to our house, Methodist, as we call it, in Oakland, California, and introduced themselves. And this young European man, in his mid-20s perhaps, he said to me, I thought I was my question. And he said, I'm happy to meet you, Brother Imam Abdi Muhammad. And he told me his name was Bilal. He was the first Caucasian that I had, a white person, that I had met by the name of Bilal. And I said, I'm glad I met him because he started me saying, I said, well, why should this man be Bilal? So after all, Bilal, in our definition, named a human quality. A human state of the human heart. So why shouldn't that right man be named Bilal? Now, I'm not suggesting that all people call themselves Bilal. In fact, us calling ourselves Bilal is just to help bring about that understanding of just what our nature and state is, in hopes of interpreting other people to not despise a quality in the human being, that God wants. I do believe that it's really an answer for us. We've been called Negroes. We've been called colored. And then Muslims didn't accept being called colored folks. It sounds good though. I remember, you know, I remember black people, oh, I'm colored. Oh, they were so happy they had to call themselves Negroes. They didn't like that. Like, oh, I'm colored. It sounds so nice. But when you look up color in the dictionary, it says that it has a reference to hell. H-E-L-L. That's reference to the dictionary. I think that's one of the two to use, right? It says color has a reference to hell. H-E-L-L. Now, the study of psychology has associated color with psychology. So a person who is aggressive, excitable, you will give them the color red, right? Describing him with the color thought of psychology is red. I guess the bull of horse bull. I guess it's red. I came coming in the doorway there, and I saw something saying, bull something. What is that bull? Bull. And it's a red sign. It says bull. I can't see it. You just see it when you came in. You go back out there. It says bull, and it's red. You see? So red represents excitement. And I just never see it. That white people, when they went to the store to buy a piece of clothing, the first thing they bring out is some red. You say, I'd like to buy a cat. First cat people bring up would be a red cat. You say, I want to buy a cat. If he had a red one, he'd say, I'd like this one. So whatever article of clothing it was. If you want a clothing, at first the things have been just a natural response on the part of the white man to offer the red one in the head. And I think they say the first color of a little baby tea is red. I don't know what that's true about. Nobody has ever looked at color with the eyes of the baby. So I don't know what that's true about. But that's what they tell us, that little children see red first. Now we don't know whether they see red first or not. Right? And it's possible that it's true. But after all, the blood when you breathe, it bleeds red. So maybe nature had prepared, God was designed nature to prepare, even while little child, to recognize that color, because it's the color of our life blood. Really, it's so back though, I don't know. But I do know colors are also identified with the word term hair. To be colorblind. It's hell, man, being colorblind. And I'm going much further than just racism. If we are emotional, and our responses are always emotional, you know, we are characteristic of impulse, characteristic of excitation, characteristic of rages, temperament, etc. Then we are just still on the animal level. We're not on the human level. The human being has been put into a flesh body that signals emotional impulses for him to meet that challenge and take the reins and command himself in spite of that environment. Command himself and say, oh, look, Charlie, I know this is your mother, but you're asking the wrong thing. So look, you can't be hard today. You're going to be evil in spite of what the Psalm says. You know, so that the man has been put here to take command of these forces of the flesh and dominate them for a better, a more consistent, and more productive life. So we can't accept that that we be called color people, especially now that we have understanding of what color means in the chart of the psychiatrist. You know, he's yellow, man. Which means the power, right? He's a coward. But there's sometimes yellow is good. I hear that Bill Benton, I think, is. He says, fools go in while wise men see it straight. So the yellow sunshine is good, isn't it? The food right there, you know, it's good to be afraid sometimes. But you all go to the washing. But I'm just saying, you know. So fear all of this is good for us, and being cautious is sometimes good. But for a person to be fearful of everything, for a person not to be prepared to resist fear is not good. Because sometimes we have to resist the urge of fear and do what is essential, do what is right. Conditions become so unbearable and so inhuman, sometimes the person has to say, yes, I see it for my life. So the fact is yellow comes up. And you see yellow and yellow. But there's a dry in you that's stronger than color. And you go right through the yellow and just take the acid on the right? Not the light on the feet, not on the head. Why? Because there's something stronger than these emotions and tendencies to give ourselves a certain emotion. Alright, so we know what we call color folks. We don't like we like to be called Negro. We don't know what we call color folks. Now here comes black. What does black mean in the color chart? Black means restive, like the night. It's at rest. It's quiet. So a man doesn't get up, we make it ourselves. Well, when it comes to taking your chair and the raw material and the economic process, economic life of these big cities, getting your share of international trade, imports and exports, getting your due representation in the banking system, in commerce, in the run of the institutions of learning, et cetera. I think we are that. We are rested. We are quite rested. You see? And now, what I'm saying is for not to let you know how I feel about you, the way I feel about you, the way I feel about myself. I'm saying this to let you know what the white man who is a racist is saying when he calls you black. When a white man, everything is white man and the racist, when he calls you black, he's saying that you like the dead earth.
Peace, man. Oh, come on.
You have a lot of potential, but no content. No direction. He's saying you are like the night. You're good for that. You're conducive to sleep. You look pretty like a star, but still don't grow like the earth under the sunlight. You see, now we don't want that. As black as they mean dead. Yeah, you know it's black as dead.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't like to call black. Especially in America, I look up the term black. I told my little young daughter, Indina. I said, Indina, I said, take your dictionary. I never thought ever look up the word black. They don't. I said, you need to take your dictionary right now. I said, look up the word black. And she did. I said, do you feel good about black? The dictionary doesn't offer us anything to make us feel good about being black. But one time, he's looking in the Arab dictionary, the dictionary of Arabic terms, the Arabic dictionary. And I looked up the word black. And it had some bad meaning too. But it also had some very good meaning. I looked up the word black and it said, depressed. I said, well, that's true. We are depressed. But I would be like to be called depressed. That just depressed me more. You know? meant noble. What? Black means noble? Wow! I hate that. I hate that. I've been doing it. I've been doing all you.